So please, when Brother Abraham comes, we'll tell him to get new batteries. These ones are not well charged. But we don't know if they are new. So if they have been used and we put them in, they may not work for long, because this one requires a powerful battery. So let's pray. Can you give me some volume, please? Just a little. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you because today is the day that you, the Lord God, has made. We rejoice in today, and we are indeed glad in today. Father, we ask that the glory of your presence will come down upon the house this morning in Jesus' name. Father, we also pray that the entrance of your word will enlighten us today in Jesus' name. Have your way here and glorify yourself in Jesus' name. Father, bless us because we have come into your presence. Lord, speak to our hearts and increase our understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. We are continuing on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Last week we started by having an overview of this topic. Today we will talk a bit more about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Our memory verse is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Can we all say together? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Can we go again? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Can we go again? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Again? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Can we say it without looking at our bulletin? Manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Praise God. So, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. You are going to profit because of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life in Jesus' name. Our text is from 1 Corinthians 12. So we are going to read verse 1 to 7. And then we'll read verse 28 to 31. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 7. Can we read? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 to 7.
Now there are diversities of varieties of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracle? Do all have gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gift. Yet I show you a more excellent way.
Praise the Lord. Here we are being introduced to the Holy Spirit. Paul said, just like I'm saying to us this morning, he spoke to the church in Corinth. He said, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. In other words, I will not have you without the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, because the success of our work with God depends on our not but have a good relationship with. If we don't have a good relationship with him, then we cannot do the work that God has committed to our hands. In fact, Paul makes us to understand that something as simple as saying Jesus is Lord requires the leading of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, there's virtually nothing we can do without the Holy Spirit. So let's quickly look at a few things that we need to remind ourselves of. Because there is a tendency in the Christendom for everything to be pushed to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God told me, God said this, God said that. How do you distinguish or make out the wheat from the chaff? It's very important as children of God that you'll be able to know when the Spirit of God is at play. So we need to quickly look at some of the basic facts about how the Holy Spirit operates. So like as we can read here, we are just building on those things we learned last week. Basically, the Holy Spirit, by his presence, gives special endowments, abilities, and unction. And that's what we call the gifts of the Spirit. It's similar to saying that somebody is blessed. Oftentimes, what we see are the products of the blessings of God upon somebody. If we are not careful, we might mistake the product of the blessing as the blessing. They are not really the blessing. But the blessings, the presence of the blessings of God on somebody's life manifests in prosperity, in good health, in success, you know, in good, great things happening in your life, in breakthroughs. That is because the blessing of God is upon your life, and it then manifested in those areas. So also the presence of the Holy Spirit manifests itself as gifts that we see the result of what it can do. You see, these tangible results is what God has decided to use to run the church. If you look at the same 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 6, it says, now there are diversity of gifts by the same Spirit, and there are differences of administration by the same Lord, and there are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So, different ways of operating. That is God. He uses these gifts in the church. So, the main purpose of these gifts is so that God can confirm his words that he has spoken to us. So that God can confirm his word that he has spoken to us. Let's quickly look at Mark 16, verse 17 to 20. Let somebody quickly read Mark 16, 17 to 20. Let's be quick. Our time is going. And these signs will follow those who believe.
In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
They will lay hand on the sick, and they will recover.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. We can stop there. Jesus said in my name, because these are some of the promises he's given us. And in order for these promises to be fulfilled, we need the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that does these things. He's the one that follows us wherever we go. He's the one that is with us to make sure that what God has said comes to pass. And the promises of God will come to pass in your lives from today in Jesus' name. Let's look at some of the basic facts. The first thing I want us to be aware of is that every believer is to have these gifts. So it's not an exclusive preserve of a few. So as many people as will yield themselves to represent the kingdom of God wherever they need to operate, will have this spiritual gifts operate in them whenever they need to represent God. So when we yield ourselves and we live in righteousness, the Spirit of God will dwell with us, and of course, he will give us these gifts, because these gifts are necessary for us to represent God well. So it's not for just the pastors, it's not for the teachers alone, it's not for the prophets alone, it's for every child of God. The extent to which you operate in them depends on how well or how greatly you yield yourself to God. Let's quickly look at Romans chapter 1, verse 11.
For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts, so that you may be established.
So I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some what? Some spiritual gifts. Who was speaking there? That was Apostle Paul talking to the children of God in Rome. He said, I long to see you. Two things we learn from there is that there can be impartation. Isn't it? So in other words, the kind of gift that will operate in your life depends on who you move close to. It depends on who God is using to be the under shepherd. So there can be impartation. And of course, it depends on who is laying hands on you. So there can be spiritual, there can be spiritual transfer of gifts. That's what Paul is saying. He said, I long to see you so that I can impart some gifts on you. And of course, when you read Timothy, he said, don't forget those gifts that have impacted on you by what? By laying my hands on you. So there can be impartation on any child of God. So the first thing, impartation. The second thing is that every child of God, you know, if you desire this gift, come so that hands can be laid on you. And by the grace of God, in faith, you start to operate in them. Praise the Lord. Two, it is possible for you to operate in all of these divine gifts. All of them is possible for you to. And like I've told us before, to a certain degree, every one of us should be operating in them, in every one of them. You may have those areas where you tend to operate more, but we should be capable of operating in all of these areas. Because if you are going to represent God, when you need to prophesy, you should be able to prophesy. When you should speak the word of wisdom, it should come forth. When you should speak the word of knowledge, you should be able to speak the word of knowledge. When healing needs to take place, you should be able to represent God, and healing will take place. So, not that, I have one, I don't have the other. And the other thing is that, you know, when you have them, as we'll see. So when a child of God says, that's not my area, every area is your area, praise God. Every area is your area. If you have not started to operate in them, then it's your choice. I want us to quickly look at Isaiah chapter 11, 1 to 4. Let's be quick. Please, someone else, open to John 3:34. Somebody, Romans 15:29. Let's be quick. Time is gone. Isaiah 11:1-4.
A rod out of the stem of Jesse.
Yep.
And a branch shall grow out of the roots. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit of wisdom and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit of counsel and might.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reproved after hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reproved with equity for the meek of the earth.
Amen. Let's just leave it there. The other thing that we will learn from this is that the fear of God does not comes when you have the Spirit of God. That's one of the things. The Spirit, so there is the Spirit for the fear of God. So it takes the Holy Spirit for us to fear God. Amen. So that's, if you know who that passage is talking about, he's talking about Jesus. Look at John 3:34. Let's be quick. He whom God has sent, he speaks the word of God, yes?
For God,
and God does not give his Spirit by measure. What does that mean? In other words, it's not limited. It's not limited. God releases the abundance of his Spirit. It's not by measure. It is, you know, in abundance. It's overflowing. The presence of the Spirit of God and his gifts will be overflowing your life in Jesus' name. The other thing is this. It can be misused. Let's not read the last one. These gifts can be misused. The lesson here is that we are not only to be guided by the manifestation of these gifts in a person's life, but to also note the manner of the conduct of them that carry the gifts. This is because it can be misused. So it's not just enough for you to see manifestation of the gift. So it is possible for somebody to be misusing it. So you have to be careful. Look at the person's life. Is it in keeping? Is it in keeping with the word of God? If it's not, be careful. So don't just follow the gifts. Don't follow the gifts. A lot of people follow the gifts. I was watching TV one day and I saw they show a documentary of a church in Nigeria. The name of the church or the name of their religion is Chrislam. And people were giving testimonies how they were barren and they went there and they prayed, you know. And the guy will open the Bible and read, and then he will open the Quran and read, he will open the Bible and read and open, you know. And you know what? People who are following gifts, the manifestation of these gifts, that's what they follow. You have to look beyond that. Praise God. Because it can be misused. Solomon is one. Solomon had all the wisdom. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 9, he said he had all the wisdom. But what did he do? If you read further, he said everything his eyes desire, he did not withhold from himself. In other words, he had no self-control. Despite his wisdom, he lost self-control. You can imagine if you are the president of a nation, do you know how many beautiful women are in the country? In a whole country. So anyone that he sees must become his own. No wonder he accumulated how many concubines? How many wives? because he could not withhold anything that was good from himself despite his wisdom. That was a misuse of the gift of God. You will not misuse the gift of God in Jesus' name. Of course, the implication of the point that I've just made is that somebody who is in a backsliding state may continue to operate in these gifts. That's why you have to see beyond the manifestation of the gift. So somebody may be backsliding and will tell you that there is nothing wrong in what he's doing. For example, say a pastor chooses to have a relationship with somebody in the church, and the person says, "Ah, pastor, but you said this is not." He said, "No, don't you know God is with me? After all, did you not hear people give testimony yesterday? Did you not hear that this person got healed? Did you not hear that the barren are bearing? Did you not hear that it showed that God is with me?" God is not with him. So people in a backsliding state can still operate in it. And the other thing that goes with that is this: financial prosperity or whatever prosperity you can think of is not a measure of your godliness. So the person, can't you see the church is growing? Can't you see we are now riding jets? Can't you see this is happening? It shows that God is with, is in the plan. God is not in that plan, So you need to watch. That's why we are learning this. Number 5. These gifts are permanent and irrevocable. Once God has given it to an individual, though male God. So that's something you need to be aware of. So, because the Bible says the gifts and the calling of God, they are without what? Repentance. So once God has given somebody a gift and has called somebody, he has called them, he has given them that gift permanently. So don't be deceived that because they are still operating those gifts, that it means that they are in God. They are not. 6. We are held accountable for how we use or not use our gifts, because God allows us to exercise the power of will over these gifts in our lives. Because the Bible says, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So God has given us willpower over how we operate these gifts. So don't let anyone say, "Look, it was the Spirit of God that made me to go and do this thing. The Spirit of God asked me to go and steal. The Spirit of God directed me to do that." No. Because God has given us that willpower. Praise God. So God expects us to not only carry these gifts in purity, but operate them in purity and genuineness of purpose and for the kingdom. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. 2 Peter 2, 1 to 3. 2 Peter 2, 1 to 3. So what did he say? In the days of the apostles and in the days of the patriarchs, there were false prophets. And even then, among us, there will be what? False prophets.
Damnable heresies.
Okay.
Even denying the Lord that bought them.
They will bring heresies to the church. They will twist the word of God. Denying the power of God. Yes?
And bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil.
Because of these people. And you see it's happening. People will speak evil of the church. Because you tell some people, why don't you go to church? They say, hey, is it not church where they sexually abuse people? Is it not church where they did this bad thing? Is it not because some people, they have, you see, it's their responsibility. They chose to misuse the gift of God that God has given them. And they bring the name of the church to disrepute. So people will now say, hey, is it not church? People in the church, they do this. People in the church, they do that. It's not an excuse. Even though those who are giving those excuses will not be justified, but the people who have misled people, they will face destruction. That's what the Bible is saying. Yes?
And through covetousness, shall they wait.
And through covetousness, yes?
Shall they with vain words.
With vain words. Words that are not true, but they are sweet words. They are logical. They are reasonable, but they are not godly words. Yes?
Make merchandise of you.
They will make merchandise of you. In other words, they will become rich.
Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not.
It may look like God is taking so long before he visits them. He said, but the judgment will come.
And their damnation slumbereth not.
Exactly. Their damnation will not fall asleep. It will come. So you need to be aware of this. So it's not all about sweet talk. Is about what's in the Bible. Praise the Lord. Then, if we have control over these gifts, as we said, we can be held accountable for not using them. In other words, these gifts can be neglected. So you have to search yourself this morning. Am I neglecting the gifts of God in my life? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. 1 Timothy 4, 14. Please, quickly. 1 Timothy 4:14. Can somebody quickly read? What does it say? Mm-hmm. Oh, we are not quick Bible openers here. 1 Timothy 4:14. It says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Remember, I told us at the beginning, how did Timothy receive these gifts? How did he receive it? Eh? It was prophesied to him. And what? He had hands laid on him. So, you come out here, I pray for you, I lay hands on you, and I tell you that God says this. From that day, begin to operate in that gift. Because it comes upon you instantaneously. But you may choose to neglect it, and that's what happens. And then when it doesn't operate in your, when you are not operating it, you, they then start to say, oh, you see, and they pray for me that I will be this, and it's not happening in my life. You see, it is happening. It's already deposited in you. It is simply because you have neglected it. We will not neglect the gifts of God in our lives in Jesus' name. They are received by faith, prayer, and like I said, by impartation. As we read, is by impartation. Romans 1, verse 11. You receive by impartation, having hands laid on you. Having hands laid on you. So you know you have these gifts when you allow God. Because you may say, oh, I don't have it. It's only when you allow God to express himself through you and you begin to make use of these gifts. And not neglect it. So if you've been prayed for and you've been asked to receive the power of the Holy Spirit upon your life, and you've been told that God wants you to operate in an area and you are not operating in that area yet, it is not because the prayer has not been answered. The prayer has already been answered. I want you to ask yourself the question, have I been neglecting the Spirit of the gifts of the Spirit in my life? That day that you are prayed for and had hands laid on you is the day you started operating in those gifts. It's the day you should start to operate in those gifts. Why are you not operating in them now? Are we willing to pay the price? Do we desire to operate in them? And of course, the Bible tells us that there is something more excellent than these gifts. That is love. Anyone who operates these gifts without love is operating it in a backsliding state. Because you cannot love somebody and cheat them. You can't love somebody and lie to them. You can't love somebody, you know, and withhold what is good from them. You can't love somebody and want to see their downfall. If you don't operate in love while operating these gifts, then you are operating them in a backsliding state. Praise God. Do we have any questions? Praise the Lord. Let's rise up and pray. Let's pray. I don't know if you've had hands laid on you before. We are going to have a special service. We always pray for time. As I'm going to announce for us this morning, to us this morning, I'm going to tell us there will be a special service of impartation on the 22nd of April. 22nd of April is Good Friday. Good Friday. 22nd of April, we are going to fast. You know the groups of people that cannot fast. But the rest of us, we are going to fast. And we are going to meet here 22nd of April. We'll meet here at 5 o'clock. It's going to be a long weekend that weekend. In fact, it looks like Tuesday may also be a public holiday because Anzac Day and Easter Monday, they coalesced. So they are occurring the same day. So Tuesday may also be a public holiday. So we really have time. So please, we are going to wait on the Lord. We are going to meet together 22nd of April. There will be a service for impartation. Praise the Lord. Can we just close our eyes and pray to the Lord and say, Father, I've heard of what your Spirit can do in a man's life. I've heard the role of your Spirit in the kingdom. My Father, my God, these gifts are available to me. Release me, Lord, to start to operate in them from today in Jesus' name. I want, Lord, you to also open my eyes and my understanding so that I know the areas where you want me to be operating. Father, open my understanding. Open my understanding. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Lastly, I want you to pray and say, Father, into your presence I have come today. Bless me, O Lord. I don't want today to be a regular service in my life. I want it to be a service of impartation. I want it to be a service of power. I want it to be a service of upliftment. I want it to be a service of promotion. I want it to be a service of the manifestation of your glory in my life. I want it to be a life-changing experience. Oh yes, today's service will be a life-changing experience for me. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.